This season of the Realistically Free podcast will mainly be about featuring stories from all walks of life, with a particular interest in LGBTQ plus creators of color. If you'd like to be a guest on this podcast and share your story, whether you're a part of the LGBTQ plus community or not, or would like to just ask a question, you can email me at realisticallyfreepodcast@gmail.com or drop me a DM on IG at realisticallyfree. All links and information are in the show notes of this podcast. So if you'd like to support the movement and make a donation, the information for that is also in the show notes. So thanks for rocking with me here and enjoy the show. What's up, you beautiful people? It's your boy, Mike. You know what it is. Here we talk tips and perspectives so that you can live freely in reality. Today, we have Bunky Johnson over here. And this is a season and series, I think, of sharing more creators on the podcast and on this YouTube channel, specifically in the LGBTQ plus community, because we are a marginalized community. I think that we don't get enough people to talk about their stories and just share like how they overcome things, right? And Bunky here is big on spirituality and all of that good and fun stuff. So I figure, you know what, let's get Bunky on here. Bunky is going to be, hopefully, maybe, am I right, creating a YouTube channel?
Yes.
Maybe yes.
Yes, I actually have one, but I haven't really done anything with it yet. So that's in the works. So yes.
So we'll say Bunky has a Facebook page that you can check out where they talk about spirituality, or we'll be talking more about spirituality and just like fun stuff, you know, vlogging with her mom, just like sharing funny stuff too on TikTok. So you could check her out on TikTok as well. And maybe in the future, like I said, hopefully soon you'll get a YouTube channel, maybe a podcast. Maybe.
Yes, absolutely a podcast. Absolutely.
Okay. Okay, so there'll be links in the show notes if you're listening to this on the podcast, or links in the description if you're watching the video over on YouTube. You can check Bunky out. So I want Bunky to just like share her story. I think I've watched your TikToks. We talked about this before we started recording, and it's not a lot on there in terms of who you are, who Bunky is. And I did see in the bio that you are a cancer conqueror, which I love. I love the way that sounds. I love that more than saying survivor. I never liked the term survivor personally, because I always felt like to be a survivor, you had to be a victim of something.
That's the one. That's it. And that's why I love it.
When I saw that, the conqueror, I said, oh, okay. So like basically Bungie's like, I'm ready to go to war, and that's it. I conquered that shit. Like, that's it. No victim mentality, just overall positive human being. And I said, oh man, when I saw that on TikTok, I said, okay, we have to have a conversation and just share stories and just like get your perspective. Especially, I think this year, for me personally, this year has been, I know we're only like 2 weeks in, but I already had the mentality coming into this year that this was going to be a season, or what I like to call the season of Micah, the season of self-love, the season of selfish, which I want to kind of get into that a little bit later, because I've had some thoughts about that. But anyway, I want you to kind of share a little bit about your story. Like, where are you from? Like, tell us a little bit about who's Bunky.
Okay. Well, born and raised in Kansas City, Missouri.
Hey.
They say go cheese, but I'm a Raiders fan. It's Raider Nation. I don't give a damn. born to a single parent mother. It was me and my little brother growing up. Now I found my siblings on my father's side, so I have several siblings on that side now. So we are getting to know each other. So,
are you the oldest, the youngest?
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Let me.
Yeah, come on, okay, girl. Well, give it to us. All right.
Okay. On my mom's side, I'm the oldest, and then I have a little brother. And on my father's side, I have an older sister. Then it's me. I have a younger sister and a younger brother.
How did that come about? Like, how did you meet your dad? How was that experience for you?
Ooh.
Is that too deep?
Okay, without getting super deep, he's not a good person. Mm. He's not a good person. And I recognize when I see bad energy, and I don't care who it is. I'm not about to surround myself with it. And I let them know, and we don't really speak, and I'm okay with that. But with meeting up with him, I got to know my siblings, and I'm okay with that. I'm great with that. I have nieces and nephews that I'm bonding with, and just my siblings in general, getting bonding with them and getting to know each other as adults. It's unfortunately didn't get that chance as children.
But it's always about what you do now going forward.
Facts. Yeah, facts.
You know, because we can't change the past, right? We can't do anything about that.
True. And I'm okay with that. I just, you know, I have my moments where I wish that I had known them all my life to see what that relationship would be like. But we can't live for the past. We can't live for the what ifs. And I am just grateful that I have them. Period. So
grew up in Kansas City, Missouri.
Yes,
you are 41, if I remember correctly.
Facts. Yes, I am. Birthday December, Sagittarius all day.
Oh, God. You're a Sagittarius. Okay.
All day.
That's interesting.
Interesting.
That's interesting.
Wait a minute, Mike.
It's interesting because before we started recording and filming, we were talking a lot about spirituality. You were talking about aura and we talked about spiritual healing and all of that. And when you look at if you're into astrology, I don't know a lot of people are not, but if you look into astrology, Sagittarius people tend to be the free spirited, the spiritual types of people. So it's interesting, but also the blunt ones, the, you know, so like this is what you typically see with Sagittarius. So I thought it was interesting that you're a Sagittarius, and you, before we started talking, before me knowing that you were a Sagittarius, you were already talking about being this like spiritual person and wanting to share more about like spirituality and healing and being free. Like, so I just find that kind of fascinating.
Yeah, you know, all my life I lived for the approval of people. Yeah, my mama, my friends, family, I lived for the approval because I didn't approve of myself. So I felt like if somebody gave me the validation that I didn't, that I should have been, or the love, the attention, the energy that I should have been pouring into myself, I felt like if I got that from them, then maybe I would feel whole, complete. And I didn't feel that until I started to realize that I was the problem. I had to realize that I'm worthy, I'm enough, I matter. And once I realized, you know, I was an awesome person, and not to be braggadocious, I'm a damn vibe, I'm the frequency, I know I am. And had I had that mentality then, I would have no issue with self-esteem, with having, feeling like I didn't have a purpose and things of that nature. But it took...
Sorry to cut you off. How did you get to that place? Because that's something I'm glad that you brought that up, because I think that's going to go into a little bit about what I wanted to kind of base a little bit of this on. This is mainly about you sharing your story, but I would like to ask some questions about that.
Sure.
You know, I have a friend who, him and I had a conversation recently, and he was saying about ready to find love again. And he was saying how, like, you know, sometimes, like, he doesn't believe in the notion that if you don't love yourself, you can't love somebody else. And about loving yourself, sometimes you can love yourself through the eyes of someone else. This was his perspective. My perspective was completely opposite of, if you don't love yourself, you will be taken advantage of. If you don't love yourself, if you don't love yourself, you will consistently be looking for validation in other people. If you don't love yourself, and here's the thing though, self-love is the only love you can have that's unconditional. That's my thought process. I don't think as human beings we're capable of giving unconditional love to others. We can only give unconditional love to ourselves, because love is selfish. So my question to you goes back to, what are your thoughts on that, actually, about self-love and loving others? And how did you get to a place where you could love yourself and find that worthiness in yourself and that validation within yourself? How did you get to that place?
What a beautiful way to put it. I like both of the perspectives, and I actually see the beautiful thing about being me is I am able to see and understand the perspectives of others, whether they align with mine or not. And I actually agree with both of you in the sense of self-love. Absolutely, is selfish because it's self, you know?
Yeah.
So can't help but to be selfish.
Right.
But on the other side of the spectrum, I understand what your friend was saying too. I mean, it makes perfect sense. But what made me see that I was enough is friends started passing away around me, and I was feeling alone. I was alone. And when you are alone, you have nothing to do but sit with yourself, all your shit, all your stress, all your whatever. You have it all your insecurities, all that. And with sitting with me and all my shit, I realized there's beauty in all of this. You know what I'm saying? It's beauty in the ugliness in my life. It was beauty. Even up with my cancer, it was beauty in that. I learned so much from every struggle that I've ever had in my life that it was just one, just another, I don't know, just another slight scar on the skin of my personality, on the skin of my spirit. But it's still beautiful. It's still beautiful. It's still beauty there. You know, I know I might not be making sense what I'm saying, but I know what I'm saying in my mind.
Nah, I get what you're saying. There's beauty in pain. And there's a lesson to be learned in pain.
Yeah.
And you can turn pain into power. Pain is power.
And it just, with all that, the shit that I've been through, it made me realize that for me to overcome it, I have to be worthy. I had to be somebody. I had to be beautiful. I had to be special, important, kind, all of these things for me to have overcome what I've overcome. And it just humbled me. And it made me see the beauty, not in just me, but the beauty in everybody else and their struggles and their pains and their triumphs and all those in between. And it made me appreciate not just my life, but life, period. Slowed me down because I was out here wild. I was, my good, I was out here wild. I didn't give a fuck. I was living wild, fancy free, fuck the world, YOLO before YOLO was even a damn thing. I was out here doing whatever the fuck I wanted to do, however the fuck I wanted to do it. And fuck who anybody else, you know, what they said, had to say, how they felt. Because like you said, selfish. I was very selfish. But with that, I didn't love myself. I loved the thrill of doing the things that I did. Like, and I can, since I've not done these things in 10, 20 years, I used to rob, steal, you know. I stuck up a couple of your motherfuckers before, you know. I was out here living crazy, and just life. I think with all that, I don't know where I'm going with this, Mike. I don't even know where I'm going with this.
I'm just listening.
Yeah. But with all that shit that I've done in my life, I am grateful and humbled that I never, knock on wood, been in jail. I've never been in harm's way. Even when I was in harm's way, I never got touched. It when I say I know that I was meant to be here for a reason, and I'm protected. My ancestors got me covered. I've been through, like, you know, cancer, running the streets, shit. Crazy women, dealing with crazy women who
you're preaching to the choir, now,
man, shit, I done died some bullets, literally. So I'm just grateful and humbled by waking up every day. I'm grateful and humbled by, I can hear sirens in my background right now. I'm grateful and humbled by that. Hopefully, whoever's in there it will be okay. But I'm just grateful and humbled by everything and everybody in the world, good or bad, and in between. And I know I'm rambling, but
well, yeah. I just want to know though, how did that transfer into or transition into self-love? Was it because you, like you say, you did get a chance to sit the fuck down and was like, I think because like I could relate a lot to what you were saying, you know, for me personally, like when I was like 15, 16, 14, like I was in gangs, I was doing wild shit. You know what I mean? I was doing wild shit. Like, I mean, been stabbed, like people shooting at me. You know what I mean? Like I was doing wild shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so close to death on so many times. And like when I look back, I'm like, yo, like I'm here for a reason.
Protecting, yeah, protection.
You know what I mean? Like I'm here for a reason. And like, so for me, like it still wasn't even through all those things I went through that kind of translated into self-love. It kind of got for me to a point where I had to get sick and tired. Sick and tired, you know what I mean? Just like, I don't know, something, it was like a switch at some point that was like, is this what I want my life to be? Or is it, it actually made me ask myself the question, is this all I'm worth? That was the translation into, I have to love myself, because all these people who I think love me and care about me, you know, those, the members, you know what I'm saying? That's supposed to be my brothers, my, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like when shit hit the fan, they scatter like roaches.
I had two partial moments. Now, one was way earlier than the other.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what got me out of the chaos of the gang life and fast life, because my family never knew that I was into this shit. For all they knew, I was a square, and that's how I loved it. So outside of family life, I was ripping and running in the motherfucking streets. But it took me seeing one of my best friends shot.
That hits home killed. For me, yeah.
And shot and killed. And it sat me back. It sat me down. I was like, yeah, nah, I'm good on this shit. Like, this shit is wild. Like, you know, when you in the moment and you doing the things that you feel like you've grown enough to do, it's fun and you running off adrenaline and shit. But when
you think you're invincible,
when you see how real shit gets, it shuts you up. It humbles for the smart ones. It humbles you and it makes you say, okay, all right, this is real shit. Like this ain't like Mario. This ain't like motherfucking Sonic. Like
I don't get another redo.
Right. Mm-hmm. I don't get ain't no do 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 and I'm back now. It's so it's done. So yeah, I'm like, but so I had to go ahead and I said, well, this is enough. Enough is enough for me. But what got me fully on my spiritual journey and to care and start loving myself is it to cope with all the shit that I've been through, I would eat and have sex. That was it. Eat, smoke, and have sex. So I got bigger. I got more depressed, but felt like because I was getting women and smoking, I was good, right?
Right.
But
what you really had the external validation still.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I was all about validations for me. Mm-hmm. And so what sat me down is I was working at my job that I'm at now. I've been there for over 10 years. And we have to take the stairs, but sometimes we could take an elevator to get to my department. It's about 6 flights up. It's crazy. I work all the way in the back of the damn department. It takes me 15 minutes to get there from walking from my car to my job, my actual
to your station.
Yes, to my actual station.
Okay.
And the elevator was broken this day. And at this time, I was at my heaviest. I was like probably, Micah, almost 400 pounds, right?
Mm.
And I couldn't make it up the stairs, man. I've never missed it. At this point, I never missed a day of work. I've never been sick, never been late. And I was about to call in. I'm at the job. I'm on the stairs. I was about to call in and tell them I can't come to work. Because I can't make it up the fucking stairs. And that is what made me change my life. I said, I don't give a fuck about myself. I don't care about myself to the point where I allow myself to get so consumed with sex and drugs and ripping and running the streets that I neglected eating right. I neglected exercising. I neglected taking drinking water and taking like the basic shit that people should be doing, you know? And it put me on the path of loving myself. And that selfless love, that just being into me and appreciating me, because if I didn't do that, nobody else would be able to appreciate me. If I can't love myself, no one will ever be able to love me, because I have to set the tone of how I want to be loved, how I expect and desire to be loved. And if I don't set the tone, I'm going to take any damn thing anybody gives me, and that would be more hurt and harm to myself, which would probably have put more weight on my ass. So I knew I had to step up for myself and show up for myself in a way that I never did before. And stop worrying about seeking validation, whether it be outwardly from, you know, the shit that I was doing, sex and all that shit, or seeking it from family members or what have you. I had to find it within me. Yeah,
I feel that. I think you kind of hit the nail on the head too when it comes to self-love. Is really like, people always ask, well, what's self-care look like, right? Or like, what is self-love? What does that look like? And I think you hit the nail on the head with that. Is literally taking care of yourself, eating better, drinking water, hygiene, and like you said, setting the tone.
Yeah.
How do you want to be loved? And not like taking the bare minimum.
Facts. And then getting mad because that's what we're getting from them. Well, I love this person like that. I'm pouring so much into them and they're just giving me scraps. Well, you're accepting those scraps. So why do you get mad that they give you scraps when you keep on eating them?
She said, lick the plate.
Lick that plate.
You better lick that plate then. That's what you want to eat. You better lick the plate.
Hey, lick it clean, bruh. But I'm not taking no scraps. I set myself to a high standard, and you said it just a second ago, Michael, with just self-care. Like, I pamper myself. I go get my nails done. I'll go get my hair retwisted, get a haircut. You know what I'm saying? Get massages, facials. Get my face waxed. I'm going to take care of me. And even though I am the masculine presenting woman, I do expect to have a woman who pours into me like I pour into them. I'm not saying you have to spend all kind of bread on me, but if I'm taking you out, sometimes take me out and say, hey, let's have a pamper day. And because that is important, just as important to me as it is to you. I'm speaking to all these beautiful women out here who are listening on your station right now. but you know, so I'm setting the tone outwardly, and then as far as emotionally, I'm going to let anybody know with any ship I sail on what I expect from you, because I'm going to pour in the love and compassion and all those things where you may lack. And I'm full in my cup. I'm going to pour that shit into you. And then you need to fill my cup when we're out in the areas where I lack. And that way,
I want to touch on that, because I think that. I'm starting to learn as I'm getting older, as I'm, you know, I'm always reflecting on life and doing introspection. I'm starting to learn it's not about me pouring from, like, I'm not pouring into my cup from, I'm not giving from my cup anymore. It's not about pouring. I'm pouring from my cup into you. And now you have to refill my cup, or I have to refill my own cup now because I didn't give you what was in my cup. I'm going to actually, like, I'm in the mentality now, and I think a lot of people need to get into this mentality now, is when my cup overflows, you have what's left over. I give to myself first. You get what's left over. So you ever like imagine like a cup, let's say there's one cup. You can't see, if you're listening on the podcast, you can't see my gestures here, but I'll try to like articulate this as best I can. You have a cup and, you know, you're filling this with water. And then there's another, like, if you, once this starts to overflow, you're getting the overflow of that cup. You get the residuals. When my cup is full and overflowing, you get the residual. That way my cup is never empty. When my cup stops overflowing because I've given too much, that's it. You cut. Because this is for me.
I like that.
This is for me. And that goes back to external validation and validating yourself and self-care. Because the problem is, we think about it, we have this cup, and we're going to give everything that's in this cup, and we expect other people to pour back into us. Most people are selfish. That's nature. We're selfish. By nature, we have the need to survive, which in turn, a lot of the time, makes us selfish by nature. So you're sitting here waiting on somebody to pour into your motherfucking cup because you're empty. You're going to be waiting a long motherfucking time.
Now that's where I might have a slightly different perspective, but I do understand your perspective. There are areas where we lack in.
Oh, of course.
And where in those areas that you lack, I might have an overflow. Mm-hmm. So let me give you the access. Let me give you the residuals of what I have. Right. Therefore, you are sustained, and I'm still sustained if we're using your logic.
We're both sustained, basically.
Yes.
See, but you know what? What you're saying right there makes me think of what I always tell people, is that I have my own cup. You should have your own cup. When we come together, we bring to each other. We inspire each other. We add to each other. We add, but it's not that you have to give me everything, or I have to give you everything, or you're going to be lacking in all these places. Now I'm going to be lacking in all these places that we're constantly having to give to each other. You know what I mean? Like I find that those is when like toxic relationships start to happen. Because like I've talked to a lot of people who will sit there and say, I'm supposed to, if I'm giving you all this, then you got to give me this. And this person's like supposed to come and make me happy. You know what I mean? Like there are people who are like, I'm unhappy, but I'll be happy when I'm with someone. Or it's always I'll be happy when. I'll be happy when this thing happens, or when this person does this for me, or when this person is in my life and all this stuff. And I feel like that's when that's when those toxic relationships start happening. Like I look at it like that. I have my own motherfucking cup. My wife got her own motherfucking cup. Okay. You get the overflow. When my cup is no longer overflowing, because, you know, we're all going to go through shit, our own personal struggles. When my cup is no longer overflowing, I cannot pour into you. Because if I start to pour too much into you, my cup will be empty.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? Like, my cup will be empty, and I'm no good to you if my cup is empty. I'm no good to myself if my cup is empty. You are no good to yourself or to anyone else if your cup is empty.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
You know what I mean? Like that. Yeah. So I'm not saying that, like, in the essence, I get what you're saying. Although I'm sorry I cut you off. I get what you were saying though, like about there are gonna be areas in life where yes, you can help that other person, you can pour into that other person. But see, it's like what we talked about before we started recording. I can give you the tools. I can give you the tools to learn how to pour this into yourself. Mm-hmm. I can give you the tools. So maybe I have to give you a little bit of my residual for a little bit so I can teach you the tools. Does that make sense? Like I can teach you the tools, but then you're going to have to start to learn how to fucking fill your own cup. Now, if I'm constantly having to pour into this one area of your life, that's now toxic. That's a fucking problem.
Yes.
That's a problem. Yes. That means that you don't want to improve this area of your life. You want me to do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's enabling behavior. That's toxic as hell. And eventually my cup is going to run empty, and then you're going to be butthurt because I'm not giving it to you anymore. So that's already setting the wrong tone. That's already setting the wrong expectation. So I make it known up front. I will help you in this area and give you the tool to fix your fucking self and to learn how to pour into this area of your life.
Yeah.
I might even do that 2-3 times. just to make sure it's solidified in your mind how to do it. Anything more than that, you're taking advantage of me. You don't want it for yourself. And I'm not going to deal with it. Like they say, the bank is closed. El banco cerrado. No more for you. No more for you.
Right.
Yeah. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Because I'm not going to disrupt my peace. I work too hard for my peace to just easily give it away. So I agree with what you say. I like the breakdown. I like to let you find your lane. Once you get there, you just so eloquently just say what you got to say. And I'll be like, yeah. That's why I'm like, yeah. I'm okay. Yeah, yeah. I feel you. I'm with you. I agree.
Yeah, because I got the like hint, or not the hint, but the way I was perceiving what you were saying was like I was basically saying like, oh no, like you shouldn't help someone in this area of life, or no, you like there's going to be times in a relationship where you are going to have to pour into your partner or your friendship. Doesn't have to be an intimate relationship or romantic relationship. That's just human beings. Mm-hmm. Like we were saying before we started recording, we have energy fields. You know what I mean? We're constantly transferring energy to one another. You know, that's what it is.
Yeah.
You know, but you have to be careful with who you share your energy with. You have to protect your energy. You have to protect your peace. You have to protect your cup. And you can't just let any motherfucker drink from your cup.
Okay. Especially with these nasty lips motherfuckers got.
That's why I say you ain't going to drink from my cup. You can have the residuals. You can have what's coming off the side and on the bottom of my cup. You can't put your mouth on my cup.
Nah, keep your mouth to yourself.
Keep your mouth to yourself.
But yeah, I agree. I like how you worded that. I really do. Yeah. You see, y'all, we can come to an agreement. We can either agree or disagree, or just what I did, disagree that was a dope-ass point. And I'm going to actually apply that to my life. I love the way you said the whole, you get the residuals of my cup. You get the overflow of my cup. I like that. I like that a lot.
It's true. If you keep letting someone drink from your cup, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and of course, we're all using analogies. I know like these are some buzzwords. Oh my God, you're drinking from the cup. Y'all know what the hell we mean.
For facts.
We're talking about, okay, now let's be a little bit more specific, right? When we start talking, and I feel like this can segue a little bit into spirituality, but when we speak specifically about your cup, we're talking about your emotional well-being. We're talking about your mental stability, your mental well-being. You can pour into people without going empty. See, a lot of times, like, especially people who are codependent and don't realize they're codependent, like people, like I was very codependent at one point in my life. I was a big people pleaser. But that's a symptom of a trauma that I had of abandonment, of, oh, I have to be good enough. And in order for me to be good enough, I have to give and give and give and give. Because the people I was surrounding myself with, right, they were already motherfucking bone dry. Mm-hmm. So, there's two people in this world. There's givers and there's takers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess I'll say there's three. There's givers, there's takers, and then there's the people that are in between. They do a little bit of giving, they do a little bit of taking. That's the balance you need. You need to be right in between giving and taking. It should always be like a constant flow of give and take, you know?
Reciprocity,
right. But I was at that point in my life. I had gotten to that point. I was burnt out and I was miserable. But like there was that trauma in me that I had to like try to heal of like, I can't keep giving and giving. And then it's like, I still feel like shit. You know, I still feel like shit. I feel worse now because now I'm just drained. I'm emotionally drained, you know, because I'm pouring into these people. And how does that look like when you say pouring into someone emotionally? It's kind of like you're that friend that everybody calls. They just want to, they dump their problems on you. And they either expect you to fix their problems and give them advice about everything, even though they never take the advice, which is okay.
That's the one.
You know, but that's okay. But see, that's our ego. Because I give advice because it's like, okay, hey, this is what worked for me. If it works for you, great. If not, okay. Ego says you have to do what I say. You get what I'm saying? Because I'm right, and I'm up. You know what I mean?
Yes, But it is, there's some exceptions to that rule. Like,
okay, what's the exception?
If it's an abusive relationship, get your monkey ass, get your ass out of that relationship. No one deserves, and I'm saying get your monkey ass. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but get your ass out of that situation. And you know, no, you don't deserve to be treated like that. So,
absolutely,
if somebody's giving you this advice, leave. Do that. Leave. Okay. But outside of that, yes, you're right. You know.
Yeah, outside of that, yeah, I can agree with that. I can agree with that. But even so, we know that people are going to do what they want to do, and it's hard to see the forest through the trees. You know, when you're in it, you know, a lot of times you're not going to see it. You know, hindsight's 20/20. You're not going to see it. But when we talk about like emotional pouring, that's what I mean. You're that person that everybody's going to, and you know, there, and you have to understand there's that transference of energy. Especially when you like you're running on empty, or you're like maybe you're midway on your cup, you know, because you've just been listening to everyone's problems. There's people, like a lot of people will take that. You know what I mean? Like they take that in. It's impact. Like, oh man. Yeah. Like, like, damn, like that person going through it. Like, okay, what can I do for this person? Especially when you're a codependent people pleaser.
Yeah. And don't have that impact, path spirit. Oh God. Yo. And then be a people pleaser too. Oh God. Mm-hmm. It's really about to be a shit show for you, because you are going to be so tapped out. Not just emotionally, in every way, you know, because you take, like Michael was saying, you take on that energy, you take on those problems, you take along, and then couple that with your own shit, man, come on. So it's just best to get rid of the energy vampires in your life.
That's a good way of putting it, the energy vampires.
Oh my God. And they come in all shapes, sizes, forms. They look like your parents. They look like your siblings. They look like your cousins, your best friend. They can be anybody. But anybody who is willing to disrupt your peace
consistently.
To bring them peace are people that give a fuck about you. Or your peace, period. So if my peace isn't right up there with yours, then leave me alone. You need to care being just as invested in making sure that my peace is intact as you are in making sure that yours is intact. Because if you don't give a fuck about yours, then I know that you're not going to give a fuck about mine. So stay away from me.
Mm-hmm. Let's transition a little bit here. Like, where would you say that like switch kind of hit for you, that you started to delve more or dive more into spirituality, that's now put you on this path where you're like, I'm ready to start creating content about this, and like kind of like give us a little bit of backstory on that?
So what's so funny is it was a couple things. Okay, so at first, it wasn't going to be anything that had to do with spirituality. My niece actually was talking about that watermelon and mustard challenge that came out a few years ago. Something disgusting. Okay. And so she wanted to do that. Like, use a watermelon, put some mustard on watermelon, and eat it and on camera.
Okay, I don't even like mustard. Ew.
Not enough to be putting on no damn water.
I don't like mustard at all. You lost me at mustard, but go ahead.
Michael, I lost me at the whole damn challenge. It was so fucking gross. And so we did it and it was fun, you know, but it was on her platform. So I don't know. I started doing some of my little ceremonies. I did a meditation one, but I never posted it. I put it in my saves. And I showed one of my friends and she said, you ought to post this. And I didn't understand. She was like, you never know what could help somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might be dumb to you, even though you did it. It might be not important enough to you to put on, but somebody might receive that message in a major way. And I was like, you're right. And so once I did, it started to create a little buzz, and people would, you know, was coming to me. It was like, man, like, I've never seen a person so comfortable showing that aspect of their lives on camera. And I started getting masculine presenting women saying, hey, that is so dope to see. a masculine presenting woman comfortable enough in her femininity, comfortable enough in her spirituality and self to be vulnerable enough to present this type of stuff on your platform. So
you hit something right there that I got it because I love the fact that you made that distinction too, where you said about masculine presenting or that masculinity. I think that it's so interesting that you brought that up because I talk about this a lot on the podcast and on the channel about that balance between masculinity and femininity. And like, I'm hearing this recurring theme about masculinity tends to be, you know, the ego. When you think about it, the ego, the bravado, the action, you know, that's when I think of masculine energy, that's kind of what I always think of, right? And I love that you brought that up and saying like, you can be a masculine person and still have that balance of femininity and be, you know, and that doesn't make you less masculine.
Thanks.
You know, that doesn't make you less masculine to go like shit. Just recently for my birthday, my wife asked me, babe, what you want to do for your birthday? And I'm like, I'm a low key kind of person. I don't like fucking like clubs, bars. I'm getting too old for that shit. You know what I mean? And that shit just disrupts my peace. I'm good.
Yes.
All the drama and shit. I said, babe, you know what I want to do? She said, what? I said, I want to go do my nails and I want a spa night. I want you to give me a spa night.
That sounds dope.
If you give me the happy ending, that's great. But it don't have to be one, you know?
Hey, come on now, Micah.
You know, so I was like, no, but deadass though. And so I did my, you know, she did my nails. Like, and I when I say do my nails, like, we didn't go out, you know, to like a nail salon or anything like that. But I'm thinking about incorporating some of those things into like a weekly or bi-weekly routine, like what you were saying about like going to a nail salon or going, you know, because men can still go get their fucking nails done. You know, I'm a little bit more in tune with my femininity. So I was like, man, I went to Lillian Fox, which is a company, no sponsorship, by the way. This is just something I tried. I went on Lillian Fox. I saw it on Instagram one day. I was like, oh, this shit look cool. And they had wraps, like nail wraps. So she did my nails and there was these cool, it was this cool little like Saturn rings and stuff. It was like astrological shit. I put those, they were black with like gold and silver and whites. And it was like the little space I did, you know, put wraps on my nails and she fucking, you know, washed my face and did a moisturizer and did like the serum. I learned a lot about facial care too. Like I'm going to tell you right now, she taught me a lot about, she was like, you got to try this serum. This is good. And then she's like rubbing my face in this upward motion. And she's like, yeah, it's going to bring all the blood. She's like, it's going to bring all the blood up to your face. It's going to make you look young. And you know, like shit, we gotta get you some serum for your eyelid, you know, for the bags under your eyes. I was like, damn, babe, all right, like let's go. Like I'm with it. Cause I fucking like my acne be out of control sometimes, you know what I'm saying? So I love the fact that you made that distinction of like being able to show, like, hey, like even as a masculine presenting person, whether you're a woman or a man, because we all have femininity and masculinity. We're like those are a constant exchange of energy that's happening within us. And I love that you mentioned that, like, that it's okay if you're a masculine woman, or if you're a masculine man, or you're a trans man, whatever you are, you know, you have that femininity and masculinity and you can flow between those things. That's okay. And that's actually like, in my opinion, I would say that is like self-care to some degree. It's acknowledging those different parts of us and having fun with those parts of us and taking care of them. Yes. So I'm sorry to cut you off, but I love that you brought that up because I feel like it's not talked about enough. Not only, you know, I guess like you were saying specifically that happens a lot in the community, and specifically when we're talking about studs and lesbians, that happens a lot where people put us into these boxes of like, if you're a man, you have to be like this. If you're a stud, you have to be like this, you know? And that's something I've dealt with as a man, is like, people are like, oh, you know, can I grow my hair long, you know? Or can I like do my nails? I'm like, man, do whatever the fuck you want to do. Like,
facts.
Like have fun, like take care of yourself, love upon yourself. So I love that you brought that up. So back to you were saying that you were sharing your spirituality within that space.
Yeah, you know, they would just, you know, be like, that's just amazing that you are able to do that and be so comfortable. And I'm like, yeah, because that's me. If it's organic, if it's truly you, if it's truly how I feel, it's not going to come across as anything but organic, nothing but dope, or all the compliments that I was receiving from it. I don't know. It made me feel good to create a safe space for people to feel and see content that they weren't, you know, used to, and okay to ask questions, and okay to make, you know, whatever kind of critiques, comments. I've never received any type of disrespectful critiques or comments on my posts, surprisingly, happily. And so,
girl,
even when I be pushing the envelope a little bit, I got one that it got a little funky, but she tightened up and came chilled out. But I never really had no issues, and so, I don't know. I make sure it's very intentional that I make sure that the space stays safe for every tribe member of mine, because I don't say supporters, I say tribe members, because I feel like a tribe is like a family, it's a bond, it's a connection, and with all my tribe members, I make sure that they know that it's okay to talk amongst each other, and to always befriend each other, and you know, I spread positivity, love, kindness, compassion. And like, again, like I said, just that safe space, because the world is already so fucked up. So I'm not going to make any more waves or create any more division than it already is in this world. So come see Monkey Johnson. If you want some good content, if you want to laugh, if you want to see some spiritual shit, if you want to see a beautiful Black woman who is strong enough to say I cry, who is strong enough to say that I have those days where I feel super emotional, and it ain't no damn PMS because I ain't got no damn uterus, so I don't want to hear no shit, y'all. and you know, so I want to know. My trans family, I want y'all to know that it's safe here. I love y'all. Man, woman, beast, child, I don't give a damn. If you're rocking with me, baby, I'm rocking with you. If you're about love and light, then you cool over here with me. So, you know, and that's all I want to make sure that my tribe members know. It's love here. It's peace here. It's safe here.
That's all. But to bring it back again, but like,
yeah, I'm
what,
sorry.
No, you're good. I love this. I love when conversations just flow. I feel like these are the best types of conversations when it's just natural, it's organic, you know. It's like,
yeah,
we're just kind of going with the flow. Like, we didn't plan any of this. We weren't like, no, hey, this is what we're gonna talk about. It was like, look, I just want you to share your story, and I want to talk about some things along the way. We'll kind of fucking figure it out as we go. A lot of people don't like this approach. I've had other, like, when I've had guests, they like expect, like, you know, questions that they're written down, and you know, they want to prepare, and I'm like, nah, like, I'm here to this is why this is called Realistically Free Podcast, Realistically Free the YouTube channel. Like, this is real shit. Like, we people, like, you're a person, I'm a person, like, let's just fucking have a conversation, like, let's talk about it, you know.
Yeah.
But to go back, the question was, what started this journey in terms of like your spirituality? Like, what started that for you? Like, I can see that you wanted to share it online, and it sounds like it's a good thing that you did, because you found your tribe members. You found other people who resonate with what you're doing, because maybe they've, like, I've heard that quote before. I can't remember who says it. Maybe you know who does. When you allow your light to shine, you give others permission to shine too.
I've heard that, but I do not know.
So if anybody knows, let us know in the comments.
Right.
Of who said that quote. But what kind of, like, spearheaded the spiritual journey for you?
Cancer is the true spearhead. It sat my monkey ass down. It sat me down, everybody. Sat me down. I was still thinking that, even though I was still on my spiritual journey, but was not nearly as deep as I am now. But with sitting with Cancer, it made me appreciate life. It made me appreciate even the small things that we take for granted, walking, because you don't even know sometimes with chemo, you're not able to walk. Some people are in such pain, they can't get out the bed. I was able to walk. I was able to actually run. I was still working out. Like, I was able to do so many things with cancer that a lot of people weren't able to do, take for granted to be able to do, you know, just normally. Hell, some people with the type of cancer I had stage 3 endometrial cancer. And sometimes those people with those type of cancers have to have feeding tubes and colostomy bags. Mm-hmm. And luckily for me, neither one. I mean, you know, it's so... with sitting down with all those things, you know, thinking about all the what ifs that came with cancer and all that, I started writing stuff down. I was, because I didn't know what the verdict was really going to be, even though I was able to do all these things. You never know what can happen with cancer. Mm-hmm. So I was writing things down. Then I said, you know, I'm going to release these things. And it's, let me think of different ways I can release all the stuff that I have in my head. And writing it wasn't enough. So I started to do things like burning ceremonies. And in the process of me going through and battling cancer, my grandmother passed away. And I wasn't able to say goodbye. And I had to figure out a way to incorporate me being able to release that energy as well. So I did things like wrote a letter to her and put it on a kite, and I flew it up there. So she wore glasses, and I was like, let me fly it up there. Hopefully she'll be able to see. And so just doing things like that, tending to my plant, even simple things like tending to my plants. That's another thing that helped me learn about spirituality and dive deeper into my spirituality, because I found out with having cancer and going through the pandemic and losing my grandmother, all that stuff, that I had a green thumb. I was able to save dying plants and make them thrive, which was a reflection of me. I felt dead on the inside, and now I'm thriving inside.
Girl, you better preach it. Damn, yeah, I got chills. Go, hey, go ahead.
Yeah. So it was such a reflection to me, and I was grateful for cancer because it humbled me. I was very caught up on very materialistic things. My hair being one. Even though I'm proud of my hair, I feel like a queen with my hair. I took so much stock in my hair. I would always be running my hands through it and talking about how fine I was because of it. And when it was taken from me, it made me sit with, do I really feel like I'm beautiful? And then I realized that I was. I saw every imperfection, every little dimple in my bald head. I saw all the hair off my face. No, I didn't have no eyebrows. So I was over here looking like Whoopi Goldberg and shit. But with every imperfection, I found beauty in it. And it made me feel even more stronger and even more confident at the end of my journey with cancer. And I'm saying at the end of my journey, but because I still have a few more years before I am in complete remission. They say 5 years. And I am on year 2, but that is what brought me on the spearhead in my spiritual journey, battling cancer and just the trying to release all that energy from that.
Mm. So, like, is there any one, like, religion at this point that you're, like, kind of following, or, like, you know, what would you say that it is, I guess, your spiritual side? Like, what is it for you? What is spirituality to you? I guess is a better way of asking that.
Spirituality, because I am not, I don't believe in any one deity. I believe that God is in us. We are, you know, he, if we are made of his image, then I am God, you're God. And he has instilled in us the discernment of, you know, right, wrong, and good or bad, all these things. But spirituality is so many things for me. It's love, it's light, it's laughter, it's peace, it is pain, it's clarity. It's so many things that for me there are components of spirituality, my spirituality. I can only speak for myself.
Right.
What it looks like for me is sitting with my shit. If that means meditating, if that means crying it out, if that means screaming and hollering it out, if that means, like I say, burning sermon, whatever I choose to do to release anything that I feel like I have built up, backed up, whatever, that my spiritual release is whatever comes to me in that moment. But it always comes from a place of love, peace, compassion, and light.
So would you
Yeah.
say that like spirituality in a sense as it's giving you like that foundation, like it's grounded you, giving you in a sense, giving you healing to some degree.
And I you know, we're no one's fully healed, because if you are, then stay the fuck away from me. That means you're perfect, and I can't be around perfection, because I make too many mistakes. But as a healing being, yes, I completely agree with that statement. I am constantly working on ways to remain and even dive deeper into my spiritual self, my find my true zen. And I'm looking for that. I'm looking for that place of peace where I'm not letting shit faze me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm the type of person, I'm a cool person, but get me behind the wheel of a car, I irritate as fuck, because people can't drive, and I'd be like, mother good. And other than that, I'm a cool person.
You just made me think of
But
Kung Fu Panda. I don't know
man,
if you ever seen that.
I love Kung Fu Panda. I ain't seen that in a
So,
long time.
I was gonna say that what is it? Kung Fu Panda 3, where Master Oogway is like in the
Yes,
spirit
right.
realm and he's like, inner peace, and then this random flower like touches his nose. He's like, oh my God, basically, he's like getting all
Yes.
mad, and then he like blows it off his face. And he's like, inner
Inner peace,
peace.
right.
That's you, you're
Facts.
Master Oogway
Facts.
over here.
Facts. I'm very realistic, and people be that's the misconception about spirituality. They think that because you're a spiritual being, that means that you
You're
are
never
always,
annoyed.
yeah. Oh, that's not fucking
That's part of the
reality.
human condition, though. Suffering is part of the human condition. Whether that's physical, emotional, mental, like suffering is a part of the human condition. And so you're always going to be, you're going to have moments where you're going to be irritated, you're going to be angry, you're going to be sad. Like that's part of being human. And I think that's what would separate us, I guess, from God, is that we don't have that omnipotent. You know what I mean? We don't have that, like we just can exist all the time and be a constant. We're not a constant. You know what I mean?
Or are we? Because once we die, it's the shell that dies, our spirit doesn't. So do
Oh,
we
no.
ever really die? Or
Well,
we.
I'm not saying when we die. Well, let me rephrase. I would say that as long as we're in human form,
Okay.
because that's why remember, I did say that that's a part of the human condition.
You
That's a
did
part.
let
That's a part. That's not a part of our soul, our spirit. Because you know, I think for me, because I've seen people die in real time, you look at life very different. That changes you to some degree. That's why I said like it's we can't be in a constant state of of Zen, or, you know, because it's part of the human condition. You get what I'm saying? That suffering, the suffering.
Yeah, if I put myself in the right place, that means around the right motherfuckers. I'm hoping that I can find that truth, or as close to it as I can, man. Like,
see, but then Buddhism would say that that's not how that works, though, right? Because the peace is in you. So if you're seeking to change the you can't change the circumstances. You can't change the outside. You can only like find the inner peace in you. You can only find that space within you. But then I think that also goes into, I guess, if you look at whatever your interpretation of Buddhism is, but my interpretation of Nirvana, essentially, right, is the constant state of peace, the constant state of being, existing. That's why I think personally it's impossible for us to get to Nirvana as humans, or to find that, because it's part of the human condition is suffering. You get what I'm saying? Like, even now, you're saying, like, I could be at peace, but I have to be around the right people.
Yeah, I'm about to say, yeah.
So that's the human thing. Like, you know what I mean?
Sucky ass motherfuckers around here.
He said funky ass.
So sucky ass motherfuckers around you. Trying to suck your energy and fuck you up. But
energy vampires.
Right. Yeah, energy vampires. Assholes, whatever you want to call them. You're right. You know, I can wish for or say that, but if the peace isn't me, then you're right. I have to be okay with the surroundings that I'm in order to still establish that.
Because I mean, look, when you look at meditation, right? Like, I don't know if you've ever, I've had some amazing experiences meditating. I've had some meditation centers where it's like. For a moment, it's almost like you don't exist, but you exist. I don't even know how to explain it. You know what I mean? It's like you're inside yourself, outside yourself. It's like, it's weird.
It's in a different plane. It's
yes.
Like, because I know what you're talking about. And I meditate. They say you should sit up, but sometimes I lay down and meditate. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
so
that shit be trippy as fuck, man. It's really almost like, for me, like I am floating in time in a different space. It's not the current time, but I don't know what the fuck it is. I don't know what it is, but it's there. Everything is slow enough for me to process, because the world's zip, zip, zip. But in that mm-hmm. plane, everything is processing at the speed that is comfortable for me. Mm-hmm. I am comfortable with even though I might be suspended in this weird ass energy super space, but I see everything clearly. I feel everything. I'm knowing and very conscious of what's going on. But as easily as I'm in that space, I can snap right the fuck out of it for me,
mm-hmm.
and be like, damn, I'm trying to get back to that. I'm trying to get back in the same position I was in.
Have you ever had that experience meditating where it's like you recognize that you're actually one with everything, or am I tripping? Like, I've had meditation sessions where I'm like, it's like I can feel the vibration of the world.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, and I promise you guys, I'm not high. Like, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs, I don't drink.
I might
have a cigarette. So like just completely sober. Like, I've gone to like the beach, or gone to, like, sometimes it's just like in the woods. Like, those I find it much easier for me to meditate in nature.
Ooh, and yes.
And I think part of that is because, like, nature, like trees vibrate at a certain frequency and everything like that. There's like a healing component to that mm-hmm. frequency, right? So I've had those experiences where it's like I can feel the world vibrating.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh wow, like, and it's like this, it's this serenity, like, oh my god, this piece of like, wow, like, it's a knowingness of like everything's okay, like
mm-hmm.
you know, like, and everything is just like interconnected. It's like you can, it's almost like I've had moments where it's like I can see the trees breathing.
Yeah,
I know that sounds crazy, because, you know, but it's like I could see them breathing, and I feel that it's like we're all breathing at the same speed. We're vibrating at that same frequency at the exact same moment. It's like, it's the most beautiful thing ever.
I like the way you describe things, Michael. I like that. But yes, yes.
It's the writer in me.
Because you're saying some of the words. If I was describing it, I would say some of those things. So yeah.
Meditation's beautiful.
It is, y'all. So if y'all don't do it, yeah, y'all better get y'all some. It is the best way to center yourself, especially in a chaotic moment. I don't know how everybody else is, but even though I've dismissed myself and gotten rid of all the chaotic energy from around me, sometimes I get those anxious moments of kind of sometimes panic. And when I feel that coming, I just take a moment to myself and I breathe in and out and I affirm myself and I put myself in a positive headspace and surround my own self with my own love, my own dope energy. And just, I don't know, just breathe it out. I'm sorry, my TV just turned on for some reason. But yeah.
They know too much.
I know, right?
Hey, that's Big Brother right there.
Between them and Google, man, them motherfuckers, my Google be scaring the shit out of me. Just be talking to me at random ass times. Anyway, but yes, whatever the hell we were saying. What the hell were we saying, Micah?
Meditation,
thank you.
It's beautiful.
Yes. Thank you.
Meditation is beautiful.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. Get y'all some.
So do you think that, you know, in the future or hopefully the near future that you'll share videos on meditation, maybe how to meditate or like what that looks like? Because I think meditation looks different for everybody.
It does.
You were saying you could lay down. I prefer to sit or sometimes I can stand.
Yes. You know, as I get older, I am more adventurous with things I want to do. You know, I want to bungee jump.
No, girl, you crazy as hell. I ain't nobody fucking bungee jumping.
I mean, not bungee jump. Jump out of a plane. I want to go jump out of a plane.
Skydiving.
There we go. Thank you.
Girl, that's worse. You went from bungee jumping. To skydiving is like thousands of feet in the air. Yeah, bungee jumping is maybe a couple hundred feet. So that's why I said that shit is worse.
Yeah, I don't want to do that suspension go boom, you know, because what if the rope snap? And then
and what if your parachute don't deploy?
Well, shit, here's the thing. We going to die together, me and that man, because I'm going to hold on. If my shit don't pop up, you ain't popping up neither, motherfucker. I'm going to leg lock your ass. And we going
to
die
together. If you're skydiving, you're definitely going to be attached to someone else. So it's their parachute that has to go off.
Well, then I'm going to have to go ahead and cut them off then and then jump on top of them. And then hopefully.
Oh, my God. That shit. Monkey said kindness, compassion, love. That shit went right out the window. Like, if our parachute don't open, I'm using you as a mat. As a fall mat.
I'm sorry, brother.
I'm falling right on top of you. Point, I think that's a good place to leave it, Bunky. I appreciate you coming on, and I'm hoping that you start getting on these videos and, you know, getting on that train.
But I appreciate you bringing me in on to this amazing platform to even speak with you. You know, I appreciate this even being an option. It was a point in time nobody gave a damn about our voice, and to know that we have safe space to do so. It's amazing. Thank you for inviting me, and I'll come any and every time you want me to. Just tell me when.
Yo, y'all make sure y'all check out Bunky. Go show Bunky some love.
Thank you.
Bunky going to talk more about spirituality, you know? Yeah. Maybe you should add in some dating in there, because I think you'd have some good, stories to tell on dating.
I will. I can. I have a lot of dating stories, so I have a lot of, you know, being around 41 years, so I think I have a lot of advice to give. And come check me out. I'm Bunky Johnson on everything, on every platform you can think of. Bunky Johnson, come holler at me.
Yes.
And we can talk about whatever. Just enjoy each other, okay?
Yes, go enjoy Bunky.
Go enjoy Bunky.
Bunky's a whole experience. It's a whole vibe. Go enjoy Bunky.
Please do. And I enjoy your back.